Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15, tell us about Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Let's read John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So today what we want to do is we want to talk about Jesus Christ, the shepherd. Because just like a shepherd does certain things with the flock, so Jesus Christ does things with us. For instance, in verse 3, the Bible says, he calls us by name. He calls us by name. To him the porter openeth, watch it, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Who is that? That's the shepherd of the sheep in verse 2. He calleth his own sheep by name. He calls us. He calls us by name. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you happen to be listening to Christian radio today and catch this message, it is not an accident. You didn't just bump into this. You didn't get into a zone where you scan the channels and hit this. Please, whatever you do, don't change the channel, because, like I said, it's not an accident that you hit here. God is calling you personally to get saved. I've watched this happen over and over again in the many years that I've been in the ministry. There are divine appointments. There are times when God knows specifically where you are in your life, where your heart is tender and your mind is receptive to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might receive him. He's calling you personally to get saved. I don't know your name, but the shepherd knows your name. Jesus Christ knows your name. And the Bible says he calleth his own sheep by name. And he's calling you today. He's calling you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look, he says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You say, why do I need to be saved? You know, it's an interesting question, but I'm going to tell you, the very fact that you ask the question indicates that you have at least enough interest to know what it's about. As I heard a man preach just the other day, if you're not saved, you're lost. A lost person doesn't know where he is, sometimes doesn't know how he got where he is, and doesn't surely know where he's going. A saved person has been located, and he knows the path and direction that takes him out. And so the Bible says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's not lost. He knows where he is, and he knows where he's going. But the question, but the situation here is that in verse 3, the Bible says, "To him the porter openeth." To him the porter openeth. Do you see that? And you know what you need to do? You need to open the door. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It just so happens today that Jesus Christ, in the most real way that he can without appearing visibly, is speaking to you in your heart and through my voice and telling you that he loves you enough to save you from your sins. That's what being saved is. You're lost in the world. You're lost in your sins. Lost people who are lost in the world and lost in their sins die and go to hell when they die. So when you get saved, what happens is you're saved from your sins. There's a bondage right now that is holding you in sin. You're freed from that. And the other thing is that you're freed from hell. You're saved from hell because you get to go to heaven with the Lord. The Bible says that the porter openeth, you see. You need to open the door. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door." This is Jesus Christ. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," do you hear his voice today? I know you're hearing my voice, the voice of Bevins Welder, the preacher that's preaching today, but listen not to the intonation and of the voice that's speaking to you, but listen in your heart to the voice of the Spirit of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you, saying, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Would you not like to enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ today and for the rest of your life? Would you not like to have his salvation? I pray that you do. You're not going to go anywhere else with the rest of this message if you stumble on the invitation to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is calling you personally to get saved. If your name is John or Linda or Mary or all the varieties of names that you can imagine, the Lord picked this day at this time under these circumstances to speak to you and to tell you he wants you to be saved. He wants you to open the door. He wants to come into you and reside in you and save your soul. He's calling you personally to get saved today. Not only that, but when he calls us, he calls us by name. He knows us by name as his children. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not just another among millions. You are an individual known exclusively and precisely by the Lord Jesus Christ. You become a member of his body. And let me tell you something, he knows who you are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." The Lord knoweth them that are his. Listen, a lot of people know about Jesus Christ. A lot of people know about God. Today you have an opportunity to know him, but more importantly, he has the opportunity to know you by name. "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He calls his own by name because we're his and he knows us. Not only that, when the Bible says he calls us by name in John chapter 10 verse 3, it's not only does he call us to get saved and call us by recognition, but he also calls us to a vocation by name. You see, a lot of people have told me that they had received the Lord Jesus Christ when they were younger and then escaped some near-death experience, and then they tell me, "I guess the Lord needs to keep me around here for something. I guess there's something that he wants me to do." Listen, there's something the Lord has wanted you to do all of your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Wherewith you are called. You are called. He calls us by name. You're called. And there's a vocation. I remember when I first got saved and started living for the Lord, one of the very first things that happened is the Lord set a fellow to teach me how to pray, and he taught me how to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he taught me? Just do them. Just do those two things. And so we prayed a lot, and we talked to people a lot. And, you know, the church we were involved in grew exponentially as a result of both prayer and witnessing. And those two things, prayer and witnessing, are very, very important aspects of the ministry. I study, I preach, I pray, I witness, I read. If you compare those five things that I'm involved in, praying and witnessing are two very important components. And you know, as I began to do that, the Lord then refined the call and called me to preach. And you know, the call to preach was a call to prepare. So I and my family went off to school and trained for 3 years, then came back and began to pastor. It's an amazing thing. If you read in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 31, you're going to find that a man named Bezalel was called by name, Aholiab, called by name, to teach other men and to work with other men in making the articles for the tabernacle and in making the tabernacle. What a tremendous thing Bezalel and Aholiab and those that worked with them had to do. They were called by name. Some people say, I don't like to read the Old Testament because it's just a bunch of names that I cannot pronounce. You know what? It's just an indication that when the Bible says he calls us by name, there are lots and lots of names in the Bible to let you know your name in the book of life will be among them. Please receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get to know what it is that he wants you to do and do that thing. Something else about the Lord Jesus Christ, like a shepherd, not only does he call us by name, but he also leads us out. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 3, calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He leads us out. And I'll tell you something. He leads you and leads us in all things if you will simply acknowledge his leadership in your life and listen to what he has to say. Listen, he'll lead you in your job. He'll lead you in your marriage. He'll lead you in your finances. He'll lead you in every single thing you do, in your recreation or the limit thereof, in the things that you can and cannot see, the things that you can and cannot do. He leads you in all things. Why? He's a good shepherd, and he wants to take care of his sheep. If you read in Psalm 23 about the good shepherd, he leadeth us beside the still waters. He knows when you need the green pasture, when you need the still waters, when you need the rest. He leads you in all of that. Not only that, but the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 3, that he leads us out. In other words, it's very easy to become comfortable in the incubator of a church, to get comfortable with the people in the fellowship and have your favorite pew and just show up for your service and go home. Look, he leads us out. Meaning what? He has something for us to do. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his eyes, his ears, here in the earth. In other words, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is not here, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that when we get saved, we are the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the nose and so forth of the Lord's body. All right? Well, then he's going to lead you out of that safe place in the sheep cot to interact with people that are in the world so that you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can comfort them when they are hurting, so that you can encourage them when they're discouraged, so that you can provide for them when they are in need, so that you can be a comfort and a consolation to them when they're in trouble and affliction. Listen, he leads us out. Your ministry is out of your comfort zone, out of your church building, out of your family, to your neighbor, to your co-workers, to your friends, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the great thing your shepherd has been doing in your life. Now, if he leads us out, your responsibility then is to do what John chapter 10, verse 4 says, and that is to follow him. John chapter 10, verse 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, right? Watch it. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You need to follow him. When Peter rejoined the disciples after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the episode where Jesus said to him on three different occasions, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And then listen, in John chapter 21, verse 19, the Lord said to Peter, this spake he by signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, watch it, follow me. And then again in verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Once Jesus says, follow me in verse 19. Verse 22, he says, follow thou me. Listen, if Jesus Christ is leading, that it is your duty and responsibility to follow him. The thing you and I need to do in the morning then is get up. We need to pray, prayerfully consider before the Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? Listening to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, like you are today. Lord, what will you have me to do? This week we've been involved in a missions conference, listening to some really good preaching. Every time that I've arrived at the services, Lord, speak to me. Tell me what it is that you want me to do. And I'm telling you, the Lord has given very, very clear direction. Through the preaching, through the leadership of the Spirit of God, through the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, some decisions that we had made for this week have already changed as a result of something the Lord showed us during some of the preaching that we've already heard. Why? Because the Lord's leading us. In other words, the shepherd Jesus Christ calls us by name, first of all to get saved, and then to fulfill the vocation that he has for us, and then he leads us in everything that we do in life, and he leads us out to be a minister to others, and we're to follow him. But look, before we leave this point, look in verse 5. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So in other words, when the Lord is leading you, don't follow strangers. Don't follow them. I'll say that during the missions conference, another thing impressed upon my heart, something that the Lord may have wanted me to do. I was very concerned, though, because this particular admonition from the Lord came with a lot of pressure. And I have noticed in my life that the Holy Spirit does not lead by pressure. I can put that pressure upon myself. I have a personality that wants to conform very, very much and adapt to the right thing and the things around me. In other words, if I'm part of a congregation and they have a certain way of doing things, I adapt to that very, very easily. But the problem is, in my own personality, if I hear something preached that God is really hammering home with somebody else, and I think that it applies to me, and I start putting pressure on myself to go that extra mile to do what's being pressed on me, you know what? A lot of times that's the voice of a stranger. It's my old voice, not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now the leader of my life. Sometimes it's the voice of the devil. The Bible says there are people who are following a wisdom today that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Don't you realize that in your life today there are personalities, there are people of influence in your life who have the potential to lead you astray from the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what? You may be inclined to follow them. I know some people today, very good friends of mine, who are saved, and they are following a stranger. They are now into things that I clearly see are not in the Scripture. You say, how in the world did they get this way? They got hooked up with a stranger, and they did not discern that stranger's voice was not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They started following that voice. Let me tell you something really, really very, very important. My father used to tell me when we were young, now listen, son, when you're driving along the side of the highway and you see somebody that's pulled over on the side of the road, he used to tell me as a young man, because this was a great trick back then, probably still is today, don't pick them up. Don't pick them up. And he gave me three different illustrations of men who'd pulled over, and every time it was a trap. And one of them, they came with a tire tool and some other tool, and they were going to beat that guy and take his money. Fortunately, he had a gun under the seat, and he was able to bring it out and present it, and those guys fled. And he wasn't hurt. He used to tell us as little children, never accept a ride from a stranger. Now, why is that? Because they know that strangers can do bad things to you and lead you astray. So the Bible says we have a leader, and we need a leader. We need a good shepherd who will lead us out and show us how to go and lead us in all things. Why? Because otherwise we're going to be inclined to follow a stranger. Here are children that grow up in church, and then they go off to college. You know what they do? They start listening to the voices of strangers and following them. The next thing you know, they are way off path with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't follow strangers. Here's another thing about the shepherd. Not only does he call us by name, and not only does he lead us out, but he also gives us life. Look with me in verse 10. The Bible says, I am come, that might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. All right, that they might have life. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you say, well, wait a minute, how can that be? Because I was born in my mother's womb, and here I am alive. Well, we call that a live birth, and we call that being alive. Truly, you have functioning cells, and blood flows through your body, and your brain works, and like me, you can speak, and like me, you can hear and walk and all that other stuff. And you say, see, that man's alive. Well, what that is the continuation of life that was given to Adam. But in that life, and you know this, there is sin. And the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the earth, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So death is working in your members. You're getting older, you get wrinklier. Soon the hair will fall out and turn gray, and then the back will stoop over, and then the joints will ache more, and then something will happen. Old age, a heart, cancer, some other type of thing will happen, and you'll die. And you know what? You're not alone. It happens to every single person who is born. Every single person who is born dies. Why? Death is in the members. Now, I know you can make an exception for the rapture and for Enoch and Elijah. I understand that. But I'm saying, here's the rule. Here's the rule. You're born, you're going to die. It's just the rule. All right, so that's not really life. That's temporary life. That's a life that is temporal. It is something that allows you to breathe some air and contribute some carbon dioxide to the atmosphere and sewage to the waste water and all that other stuff, okay? But in time, you're going to die. That's not life. The Lord says, I've come that they might have life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. All right, you know what? I've got life. And the life that I have is a life that is going to survive the death of my body. Now, I understand, if the Lord comes, you understand, if the Lord comes, we're going to get changed. We're not going to die. We're going to go up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But the thing is, the reality is that if the Lord is not scheduled to return in our lifetimes, we're going to die. But you know what? I'm not going to die. You say, how can that be? My body is going to be temporarily laid in a grave, but I'm going to keep on living. My soul and my spirit are alive in Christ, and I keep on living. And not only that, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back at the rapture, and he's going to call those old bones up out of that grave, and skin's going to come back on them, and muscle and sinew. But this time, that body's going to be a glorified body, just like the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection, and with him we'll live forever. That's not death. That's life. And Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. And I'll tell you something else. He said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So not only does he give us life, but he gives us abundant life. In other words, we don't have to wait on eternity to start living it. We get that life now, N-O-W, right now. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, watch it, but have everlasting life. John chapter 5 verse 24 tells us that when we get saved, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me and hath everlasting life shall not come into condemnation, watch it, but is passed from death unto life. He says, I'm going to give you abundant life. I'm going to let you start having your eternal life right now. And the beauty of that is, in me I have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, in you, you have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He was sinless while he was here, and he's very powerful, and so he will live that life in you. And as you yield to him, and he has complete control of your life, you know what? Your life is going to be holy. And, of course, the longer he has control of your life and the more you conform to his image, then the stronger you're going to be in that. Because we as sinners still want to take back control, yield to the life of sin in our lives, and then you don't notice the strength of that life very much. You may be a very backslidden Christian today who has the life of Jesus Christ, but you don't have the abundant life. And the problem is the Spirit of God doesn't fill you, and Jesus Christ is not your constant companion, though he's in you. You find that if you will seek out the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and faith and meekness and gentleness. And it's just wonderful. I'm telling you, right now in my life, I don't believe I've ever been as happy and as satisfied and as content in the life of Christ as I am right now. And I tell you what, I'm more content, more satisfied, more rejoicing, more stable in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ today than I was a year ago, which tells me this is going to keep going, getting better and better and better. You know what that is? That's the abundant life. And I never had this, nothing even close to this, as a lost man. Let me say one other thing. In verse 11 and in verse 15, we find out that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know what the Bible says? He laid down his life for you. I say for you, he laid down his life for me, but I've received him. If you haven't, he laid down his life for you. That's right. In other words, when Jesus Christ left his glory and came to this earth and died on the cross, he didn't do that for himself. He didn't do it just for me. He did it for you and me. And for everybody that's lost. You say, well, what do I do about that? If he laid that life down and yielded himself to the will of the Father and allowed the wrath of God to be poured out on his body to pay for sin, then all you have to do is receive him. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm preaching today the full confidence and assurance that by the time you hear this broadcast, you listen, God will be talking to you. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I'm already a Christian. Not if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I do that every week at communion. That's not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you do? You receive the man, Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You receive him. You get him and you're born again, and you know what? He will lead you. He'll give you life so that you'll be saved, and he'll give you abundant life so that you will actually rejoice here in this wicked world while you're waiting for his return to spend eternity with him in heaven. I plead with you today, if you've never been saved, receive Jesus Christ and be saved today. Amen.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.